Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Time to preview today's Steelers-Ravens game. I don't know. What do you think? Bloodbath, street fight, barroom brawl?
Yes. All of the above. You know, I'll say this much for this rivalry. I underrated it. I was looking at this game. After the Steelers beat the Jets, I knew Baltimore week was coming up. And I had it in my head, they just got to get another victory. They got to get on a little bit of a roll here if they're going to salvage their season. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Ravens. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Patriots. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Green Bay Packers. The W is what matters. But all week, talking to the players, there is something different, unique, special, however you want to characterize it. This is not just another game. It is Steelers-Ravens. And while they may first and foremost need a victory to keep the boat from sinking deeper, perhaps to that point that the Titanic got to where it was a mathematical certainty that it would end up at the bottom of the Atlantic, it's still a Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. And when are those not close, and when are they not, what did you say, bloodbath, street fight,
barroom brawl?
Yeah, when are they not that?
And my understanding is that some of the more veteran players have been cluing in, some of the newbies, about the intensity of it. I was told somebody said to Jarvis Jones, it ain't going to be no cocktail party out there on Sunday afternoon. That referring, of course, Jones went to
that 7-on-7 football they play in the SEC.
Yeah. Florida, Georgia, known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
They would prefer you don't refer to it as that anymore.
Well, I think that the officials at the schools would prefer, but
correct,
I think if
yes.
You ask the fans,
yeah,
they still embrace it. I mean, you know, we're pretty much, I think, in agreement over the course of this week. I think that, you know, Ray Rice is not, I won't say he's not what he used to be, but he's not as productive as he used to be.
The numbers aren't what they've
right,
been.
Whether that's his fault, the offensive line's fault, his age, the wear on his tires, you know, whatever it might be. But Ray Rice is not even the leading rusher for these Baltimore Ravens. And I think, what's he averaging, 4.4 yards a catch?
A catch. Not a carry.
Right, and that 4.4 yards a catch is higher than his yards per carry rushing.
It's about double it, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think that's 2.8, so yeah, almost. But I'll tell you what, the Steelers still better keep him under control, just because he has not been a weapon maybe for the Ravens to this point doesn't mean that can't change on Sunday at Heinz Field.
Absolutely, yeah, I think he's still job one. Get him in situations where it's third and obvious, and then do what you got to do then. That worked against the Jets. That's what they had said all along that they had been trying to do. No reason to get off of that theory.
You know, one of the things, one of my favorite things to look at, one of the drums that I continually beat, one of the horses that I beat long past its life expectancy, is red zone. The Baltimore Football Ravens are tied for number one in the NFL in red zone defense. If you look at the history, recent history of this series, I think it's something like 9 of the last 12 or 13 games have been decided by 4 points or fewer. My quick arithmetic tells me that 4 points or fewer is the difference between one scoring a touchdown and one settling for a field goal.
Provided you get the extra point, yeah.
Yes. So I think that, you know, the Steelers' efficiency in the red zone is 31st in the NFL. Now, you know, I understand that that is a statistic skewed by, you know, the slappiness of the first four games. I will give them that. But they were also 0-for-2 in the red zone against the football Jets. Anyway, my point is that the Steelers cannot – do a lot of settling for field goals in this game. I mean,
unless they get there a lot. I mean, I think you try to get to 17 points in this one, however. And I would also prefer touchdowns in the red zone. But I don't think the Ravens are going to light the scoreboard up either.
Well,
their red zone offense, at least against Green Bay, was such that they had two cracks at it from the 2-yard line late in the first half. And on the first one, they got 1 yard. And on the second one, John Harbaugh decided he didn't want to kick a field goal He wanted to go for it, and he got nothing because he got stuffed. Each running back took a turn at it, and neither one of them crossed the goal line. It's survive in advance in this one. But I like your theory. I would like to see him get in the red zone and score touchdowns.
Let me say this, too. I mean, you know, Joe Flacco's recent history at Heinz Field is you don't want him to have the ball at the end within a score because the guy has been, unfortunately poised at Heinz Field against the Steelers pretty much throughout his entire career, with the exception of maybe the AFC Championship game in 2008, and things came a little unglued in that 2010 AFC Divisional Round playoff game as well. But regular season Joe Flacco at Heinz Field, you know, he is not someone that you can depend upon to make the mistake to beat his team. So, you know, that's why I am hoping that, you know, for the Steelers' sake and for the sake of my own blood pressure, that this game does not come down to the Ravens having the football at the end within a score.
And if it does, you have to hope, if you're the Steelers, that they're as worried about blocking you as you are about blocking them.
Isn't that the truth, too? I mean, when you look at these two teams and the relative weaknesses of the offensive units, pass protection, I think particularly at the offensive tackle area, can be highlighted. And you're right. Which offensive line is going to give up the big sack strip?
It's a compelling question. The autumn wind is a turnover, bouncing across the turf.
A lot of these games have been decided that way, too. I mean, it was Woodley and Troy in Baltimore one time stripping Flacco on the Isaac Redman touchdown pass that Ben threw. I believe it was a turnover in another one of those games. I can't remember which one it was that helped the Steelers win in Baltimore and advance, clinch the division. I don't know. Okay. You want to predict? I don't. I'm afraid.
I just don't have a feel for it. Time I've tried to pick this game, it's not worked out like I thought. And the one that really sticks in my mind is I remember that opener a couple years
2011,
ago. 2011. And yeah. I thought, man, the Baltimore secondary's got huge issues. The offensive line has even more issues than the secondary. This is just not a good matchup for the Ravens right now. And they won 35-7. And then I remember Charlie Batch going down there last year, and I'm thinking, kind of a waste of everybody's time to even show up, isn't it? And the Steelers win the game. So something happens when these two teams play. They just go at it. I was reminded by Troy Polamalu this week, Labs, of the game in 2004, 2003, his rookie year. It was the last game of the season. The Ravens yeah. were in. The Steelers were out. It meant nothing. Baltimore was going to have to play the next week, and Brian Billick kept his starting players in the game through overtime.
And they lost the next week to Tennessee in the playoffs.
Yes, they did. But they beat the Steelers.
Yes.
They're probably okay with that.
Yeah. See, that's what makes this a true rivalry, because the hate really overrides everything else.
I respect that.
Yeah, yes, you do. Okay, that'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Persuda, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on the other side of the weekend and tell you whether we were right or wrong. We'll probably leave out all the times we were wrong.